You were always so good to me.
This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series, Now is the Time to Protect Every Innocent Human Life. In fact, to abolish abortion and restore the rights of preborn children. They should have the same rights that you and I have. And you may think, well, the Supreme Court settled this decision in the Dobbs decision when they overturned Roe versus Wade. But that's actually not the case. Abortion is still happening in certain parts of America. And it's actually increasing in the state of Florida, partially because our laws allow abortion. They're more loose. They allow more abortion or abortion in more circumstances and for a later time than surrounding states. And so abortion tourism is on the rise, and people are coming, women are coming from other states to the state of Florida, taking time off of work, taking time off of school for the singular purpose of paying an abortionist to kill their baby, to rip their baby limb from limb, or to cut their baby in pieces and crush their baby's skull, or to give them some medication that will kill their baby, where they then deliver their dead baby in a toilet. And this is what is happening in the state of Florida. Over 82,000 preborn children were killed by abortion in this state last year. We've had abortion in our state for over 50 years. It is past time to restore the legal protection of every innocent human life. And we have shown in previous sermons that God is the creator of every human life, and that human life should be protected from its earliest beginnings, which in most cases is fertilization. And human life should be protected and revered in the womb, outside of the womb, and the disabled should be protected. Seniors should be protected as well. And we have also seen that God actually calls for us, his church, to protect innocent human life and to rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to death. And we have shown that those commands of God to protect every innocent human life aren't contingent on whether we think we will be successful or not. In fact, we've even shown that God has called some people in the world, Isaiah for one, Jeremiah for another, were called actually to be unsuccessful. They were called to be obedient, even though they were told they would not be successful. But we don't know whether we will be successful or not, but we do know what God has called us to do, what God has in fact commanded us to do. And as Mother Teresa said, God did not call her to be successful, but to be faithful. I would say that God has not called us to be successful, but not only faithful, but also obedient. And we need to obey God regardless of the consequences, but we should go forth with faith. In fact, believing that God can do great things through his church. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that we are to disciple the nations in obedience to his commandments. The Bible says that we're to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. The Bible says that we are to be, the church is to be the pillar and the ground of truth. The Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So what are we waiting on? We need to attack the gates of hell. We need to strike out. We need to push back the gates of hell until Satan hath not one inch of territory, and until every innocent human life is protected in our state and in our nation. And really, we should work for all the nations of the earth. And we need to realize and remember that the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We shouldn't be taking a poll to determine what we should do. We should look at the Word of God, have faith that God is able to work through us to accomplish what He has called and what He has set forth, and actually go out and do what He has called us to do. And we read from Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, or the hall of faith, what is commonly called the hall of faith, about various people, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and various men and women of God. We see the Joseph, we see the various blessings and the mention of how they honored God and kept His commandments in His word. We talk about Moses, and we also see about Samson and Jephthah and Rahab, David and Samuel. We see even the talk of those who didn't achieve what they set out to achieve, but still were faithful and obedient to God, and some of which were actually slain, some of which were sawn in two, and yet they kept the purpose of God. Certainly they may not have had the outward success that they had hoped to have, but they were faithful and obedient anyway. And today we're going to turn our attention to Gideon, because Gideon is just a really fabulous story, and he's one that is mentioned in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. But Gideon is someone that God said, not that he needed more people and he needed to wait until he was stronger to take the Midians. God said, there's too many people with you. If you go out against the Midians now, people will think that they accomplished this through their own power. There needs to be fewer of you. And we're going to look and we're going to read parts of the historical account found in Genesis, starting in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves dens and caves and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and lead no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. So this is really a fulfillment of what God had told the children of Israel would happen to them when they if they departed from His precepts. And you actually sadly see this this account happen time and time again in the book of Judges, where the Israelites would obey God, and God would bring about his blessings, and God would prosper them and set them at peace. But then in their prosperity and in their peace and in their rest, they would forget God, and they would become complacent, and they would start sinning and rebelling against God, and the wrath of God would then come upon them, and they would be turned over to, and God would raise up adversaries to rule over them and to actually oppress them. And that's what is happening. The Midianites were so oppressive that even when the children of Israel would sow their seed to grow wheat or corn or something else, some other type of grain, what would happen is the Midianites would come and destroy it. They would come and actually make sure that they had no sustenance, no food, and the children of Israel were impoverished. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. In verse 7, and it came to pass when the children of Israel, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you out of Egypt, and brought you out of the house of bondage, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." So the prophet here is really showing them, this has happened because you rejected me. I'm the same God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, that brought you out victoriously and brought you into this land, and yet you have rejected me and you have violated my commandments. And for that reason, this has happened. And in verse 11, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. So the angel of the Lord comes, and Gideon is actually grinding grain and trying to hide it so the Midianites will not come and actually steal it. And in verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And so the angel says to Gideon, oh, he calls him a man of valor and says, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon says, well, if God is with us, why has this happened to us? We don't see the victory that was once promised to us. We don't see the goodness of the Lord anymore. We are in bondage to the Midianites, and God has forsaken us. In verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Verse 15, then he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." And so God is telling him, that he will give him and empower him to defeat the Midianites. And Gideon says, how am I going to do this? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house. So he was the least likely person, maybe even the least capable of accomplishing what God was calling him to accomplish. But God didn't call him to look at circumstances. He didn't call him to do a poll to see whether Israel thought he could actually, they could actually defeat the Midianites. He called him to be a man of valor and to lead the armies of the Lord to overcome the Midianites and to bring deliverance to Israel. And we're going to skip a few verses here down to verse 22. Now Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die. So Gideon is actually afraid because he's seen the angel of the Lord and he thinks he might die. And what you see here is the angel saying, you shall not die. Verse 24, so Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. Now, this is in a time where they were really oppressed and at war, because if they even had grain, the Midianites would come and oppress them and destroy the grain. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now, it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image that was cut down. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. So God here is telling him, you need, before you do this, before you can deliver the children of Israel from the Midianites, you're going to have to tear down the altar of Baal. And Gideon's father had this altar of Baal. Now, Baal worship, as we have talked and discussed many times, Baal worship actually led to, or part of Baal worship was where the children of Israel would literally bring their sons and their daughters to sacrifice to Baal. Sometimes you see Baal being involved. Sometimes you see Moloch. Sometimes you see Asherah. And what happens, though, is that their children were actually being burned in the fire. Very similar to what happens today with abortion, although people don't necessarily consciously sacrifice their sons and their daughters to demon spirits, the same demon spirits are really receiving the blood of these preborn children that are being shed in our country. And the angel tells Gideon, you need to tear down this altar, you need to cut up the image of Baal, and you need to build an altar to the Lord and sacrifice one of your father's bulls, and on the altar, burning, using the wood that used to be the image of Baal to burn the altar. So Gideon actually is fearful. He does this. He knows he needs to do this, but he did this at night because he was scared of his father's household. And then in verse 33, then all the Midianites and Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together. And by the way, one of the things that happened after this is that the people of the city came and they talked to Gideon's father and they said, why has your son done this? And they actually wanted to put Gideon to death. And Gideon's father said, let Baal plead for Baal. And in verse 33 again of Judges chapter 6, and all the Midianites and Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and the Abiezrites gathered before him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And then in chapter 7, verse 1, then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who were with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained." So God here is saying the people, not that the people weren't enough, not that they weren't strong enough, not that they should wait until they could possibly convince the Midianites to leave them alone and the Amalekites, that they were actually too many people, and that they should actually reduce the number of people so that God alone could get the glory for what was being done. There's a call here for this to happen. And what you see here is that 22,000 people went home when Gideon gave them the opportunity. And he said, if you're scared, if you're fearful, go ahead and go home. And we see that 22,000 people went home, and 10,000 people were still there. In verse 4, "But the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and test them there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, or shall not go with you, the same shall not go.' And he brought them down to the water. And the Lord's God said to Israel, 'Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink.' And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'By the 300 who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand, lest all the people go, every man, all the other people go, every man to his place.' So the people took provisions and the trumpets in their hand, and he sent them away, all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley, and it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go down to the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand.'" And one of the things that happens is he tells him here that he had delivered it into his hand, and he tells him to go down and actually listen to the camp of Midian and listen to what they were talking about. And they actually had, one of the men had seen a vision and of barley bread tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to a tent and struck it so that it turned it over and the tent collapsed. And the other man said that this was nothing but the sword of Gideon, the son of Josiah, a man of Israel. God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And what we see here is that with 300 men, they actually did go, and And Gideon says, whatever you see me do, look at me and do likewise. This is in verse 17. When I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do. When I blow the trumpet, and I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpet on every side of the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the hundred men who were with him at the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, they blew the trumpet and broke the pitchers and that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew trumpets and broke the pitchers they held, that held the torches in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpet, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled to Beth Aka toward Zerah as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabith. And so the people were actually killing themselves. The Midianites and the Amalekites were killing themselves. And you know, if you've read the story, and you can read the rest of the story, that Gideon and his men pursued them. There were others in Israel that came and joined them. And God brought about a great victory there with just a few men. And we shouldn't look at what is happening and say, oh, these are too many. We shouldn't look and say, we can't do this, or not enough people are willing to stand, and we need to wait until we can get a 60% majority. We need to work right now to restore, to work toward the day when we can restore the legal protection of every innocent human life, and to realize that with God we can do all things. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
מטה עוזך ישלח אדוני, ישלח אדוני מציון. מטה עוזך ישלח אדוני, ישלח אדוני מציון. Yede bekere hordecha, yede bekere hordecha, Yisrael, 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 Yisrael. send forth the rod of your strength, the rod of your strength.